Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, your Poetic Energy herself,
bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves
live
at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881.
That's 917-932-8881.
Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183.
That's 1-877-218-1183.
Shalom, shalom, what's going on, man? Shabbat shalom, we back in the place. You already know, each and every week it's going down on the Poetic Energy Network station. I am your host, Saad, and we're on the way. Man, you already know, we got each and every week we got something lined up for you. So, hope you're having a great Shabbat. We are going to dive into it. So, let's get ready to approach the throne. Father Yahuwah, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob, great and awesome is your name, Father. We pray that you will send Yahushua the Messiah to reign upon the throne of Dawid forever and ever, and that he would shepherd the nations with an iron scepter. And we just pray that you will forgive us for our debts and those who forgive our debtors, that you would speak through us, to us, and that you would fill us with the Ruach HaKodesh, that we may be blameless in your sight, and show us the spiritual atmosphere that we may be prepared. And that we pray that we will be worthy enough to escape the things that are coming upon the world. And pray all those things in Yahushua HaMashiach's name. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So I hope you're having a good week. You know, it's going down. You already know it's going down each and every week on the Poetic Energy Network station. We got a quick, you know, we just want to go over a couple things this show. And, you know, you got the elections going on and coming up. Actually, in a, I guess maybe about 2 or 3 weeks. So you got that going on. You got the debates going back and forth. And so, you know, we've been building up pretty much, you know, to these points, to the things that are happening. And one of the exclusive stories I have is in connection with the current elections. And I don't know if you've been noticing, but gas has been going up. Gas has been skyrocketing in California. I mean, it is pretty much the highest, you know, it has ever really been. Here, it's you know, on the East Coast, it's very high. Gas all over is pretty much very high. And a lot of times, you know, we don't know what is driving these costs to get very high. And the main factor of why these costs are getting very high, as I find out today, is what you got going on over there in Iran is the U.S. already had 2 naval ships facing Iran. Okay, now they just sent a 3rd naval ship over there, which a lot of generals and a lot of people that have been in the military, you know, are stating that, you know, once you get to you know, 3 naval ships, you know, facing a nation, it's almost, you know, a strategic move for war, and that's the consensus you get, is that, you know, when you get these number of naval aircraft carrier ships facing a nation, it's pretty much a strategic move to get ready for war, not possibly, almost, what are you talking about, inevitable, is what a lot of, you know, military people are saying. That, you know, once you get to this point, you know, it's almost inevitable. But what the threat has been over there, why the gas prices in the U.S., why it has been reflecting, is Iran has denied these charges, but a lot of people think they're trying to sabotage and contaminate the Strait of Hormuz, We talked about that a while back, you know, the Strait of Hormuz and the threat to, you know, possibly close it. But they're trying to, what the consensus is that Iran is not somehow trying to sabotage the Strait of Hormuz to close it, to get it closed. Now, if you don't know about the Strait of Hormuz, what it is, you know, of course, from Iran and Saudi Arabia and these different nations over there, this strait, almost 40% of the world's oil passes through that strait, Hormuz. So this is a very big strategic move for the U.S. because they get a lot of their oil from these places. So you're talking about almost 50% of the entire world's oil comes through one strait. Okay? So this is how big it is. And so why you see, I guess somehow, you know, I don't know the mathematics or the formula, but when threat, it's almost like supply and demand. So when the threat and the supply is almost threatened, that's when we see a gas price peak and the gas price rise because it's getting, you know, it's getting scarce, I guess you would say. Not actually getting scarce, but when that thing starts to happen, when, you know, when war is it could be imminent. And so that's what's going on. That's what I've seen, the connection is what's driving the prices up, is what you have going on overseas. And a lot of people, and they're not going to have that on the news. They're just going to say, oh, the prices are rising and the prices are rising and all these things. And so anytime you go back and look at any kind of war or any kind of thing, these things will be threatened because you're talking about going – you're talking about going to possibly, you know, and that's why the main reason President Obama and the, you know, Obama administration has been kind of diplomatic about the approach with Iran. And because, number one, that Strait of Hormuz, you know, like I said, with half the world oil passed through, you know, it's kind of like going to war with somebody, you know, who possibly feeds you, you know. A lot of that oil is coming through that strait and different things like that. If there's a confrontation between them, you better believe that, you know, oil, you're going to have to find other places to get oil, which will create inflation. And that's what you're seeing right now at the pump. You're seeing inflation, you're seeing, because if they end up going to war, which is imminent, and a lot of people in the military are saying, you know, once they send three, once you send three aircraft carriers, you know, against a nation to set up shop, you know, pretty much, I mean, they don't do moves like that unless, you know, they're gonna, you know, start trying to, you know, getting ready for, you know, imminent war. And we gotta watch this thing. You know, I'm definitely not gonna stay out on a limb and say, you know, something's gonna happen between here and the elections. But there are reports saying that, hey, you know, possibly, you know, something can happen before this time frame because they just sent this ship over there. So, but yeah, that's the report, is that Iran is setting in motion things to actually close this Strait of Hormuz, which basically will cause hyperinflation and the threat of war, which right now is driving the prices of the pump up. And you probably will continue to see that price to increase if this, you know, situation over there is not taken care of. And so you better believe if Obama is the president again, you know, they released some statements, you know, towards them that, you know, it's possibly going down. And on the other side of the fence, you know, Netanyahu, the prime minister of the secular state of Israel. He's trying to get a new, you know, do some things and move a couple of chess pieces to where in the beginning of next year, the Gregorian calendar year, being able to get full, votes and authority to go ahead and do a strike on Iran, because a lot of people saying they're getting to nuclear grade, you know, uranium, you know, to build the bomb, and a lot of people say they already have the bomb. So we, you know, this is something we got to watch because this is something, you know, believe it or not, this is something that will come to the grocery store. This was something that would come to the gas pump because you will see inflation because you have nations like Russia, China, and UK and all these different nations involved. And we already know, but before there is, one of the main themes of, the Illuminati and the New World Order is out of chaos comes peace, So they're going to try to create chaos and try to create a system, that falls, and then they bring their new system. So this is something we're watching across seas that is going on currently right now. So that's something to be watching, and with the elections coming up, you better believe something is going down very soon with, the strategic moves that the U.S. is making, towards Iran and what Netanyahu and them are trying to do, towards these nations. And we talked about, the plans of, Ahmadinejad and the Iranian nations is that they want to try to bring in what they believe is the end time, for their false prophet, the Mahdi, and, how the Jews are, trying to get ready for the sacrifices and get ready for their, Messiah. And also how we talked about how the Christians are, they're setting, TBN and the Daystar are setting up cameras on the Mount of Olives to try to record, and watch the Temple Mount, watch that area where they believe that JC is supposed to show up. So the things are getting very interesting because you also have the, I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, but you've been having a lot of increase of, what the people call UFO sightings, which has been all across the world. There's been a lot of increase in this. Things are very, if you can check and look at the spiritual atmosphere, how things are growing. I mean, you watch TV, they have shows out now that are starting to push the agenda. You have one show on ABC called 666, something like Parkway or something like that. They have shows like this. They have shows that are pushing the so-called alien agenda. So what you got to remember is, this whole coming scenario is going to be fabricated. I mean, down to, we can't put anything past the adversary because Yahusha said that if possible, they will see the very elect. And so they're doing things like that. What you got to remember is, in the beginning, we talked about the first age before Adam. And we talked about how a third of the messengers have fallen away with, Hasatan, Hillel. And then you have, so now, with these UFOs and aliens and what people say, which are actually fallen ones in the Nephilim, which Enoch talked about, the Watchers and all these things. So what you have is you're going to have the false coming of the false Messiah with, accompanied by, what people may perceive as, angels or which are really fallen messengers who can change their form and shapeshift and do all these different things. And so this is the reality is what we're facing and what's coming up in the near future, from the movies to the things that are coming out. You can see it is being increased by the moment. And I want to give you this fact before, and we'll get back to, those topics in a little bit. But this fact is going to stun you right here. This fact is going to stun you. Over the last 30 days, this report came out today, over the last 30 days, there has been 7,187 earthquakes. I mean, this is unprecedented. There has been 7,187. There was just a magnitude, I believe it was a 7.9 in Alaska, a very powerful earthquake. He's talking about 7,000, I mean, in Alaska. In Alaska, who have ever heard of an earthquake being in Alaska? And this is what Yahushua talked about. What did he talk about? He talked about this. He says, look, he says, you shall hear of fightings and reports of fighting. See that you are not troubled. These things have to take place, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, rain against rain, and there shall be scarcity of food, daily disease, and earthquakes in places. These things are very getting in motion. These things are not full blown, but these things are getting in motion. You're having earthquakes in Alaska, 7.9 earthquakes in Alaska. okay? This is earthquakes in various places. I mean, these are the beginnings of the birth pains. So the end is not yet. You know, we got a while. The end is not yet. But this is the beginning of the birth pains, where we're seeing things set in motion. You're seeing the gas rise. You're seeing your food go up at the store. So when it talks about scarcity of food, you have it with the crops. You know they're starting to genetically modify, the crops, and where you know. Now the supply cannot meet the demand, and that's when you have scarcity of food, is when the supply cannot meet the demand. So you have more people demanding food, you have more, you know, and they're not able to pump it out fast enough. So that's why one of the reasons, you know, for the genetically modified food and different things like that, GMO. And different things like that. So would you have scarcity of food starting to happen right there? And then, of course, we know nation rises against nation. We see the Muslim world now. They've been rising up for a while over what they said was a video, but it's not a video because it's written right here in the scripture that they would rise up. So the Muslims are rising up against the Christians and the Jews. So this is what you have. You will hear of fightings and reports of fightings. So we're hearing of fightings already. We're hearing of fightings in Libya and Syria. You know, Syria's one been going on for a while. Damascus. We talked about that prophecy before. You know, about the prophecy of Damascus, and now we're hearing reports of fightings and a possible fighting in, you know, Iran. And we've been hearing that for a while. So these are the beginnings of the birth pains, but this is what Yahushua said. Hey, he said, see that you are not troubled, for these things have to take place, but the end is not yet. So the end is not yet. You know, a lot of people say, oh, we're on the fifth trumpet, or, you know, listen, the seals haven't broken. The seals have not broken yet. We have not... entered into that, you know, that point of revelations. Like, now, a lot of things in revelations are double fold, and so we can look back in history and we can say, oh, yes, this has been fulfilled, but the word is more deeper than, you know, just being one fold. You remember, Yahushua said, he said the word is, the Ruach, you know, quoted and said that the word is like a double-edged sword. So, a double-edged sword cuts both ways, and it goes deeper than just, you know, the surface. So that's what you're talking about. You're talking about but far as the seals being broken, the seals have not been broken. We have seven seals, and the first seal is scheduled to break when we talked about last week or the week before about Daniel 9:27 being fulfilled in those laws, the Israel holy site laws, and all those laws being ratified and modified into where the Khazarian Jews can now go back and, well, not even go back because they never were, but being able to institute this sacrificial system on an altar on the Temple Mount. So this is when, and whoever this person or spirit is going to do this, when this covenant is confirmed, Daniel 9:27, the last week of Daniel will begin, and we have the last 7 years. And some interesting things are popping off, because they're talking about years like, not looking too far down in the road, but we're talking about years like 2014, 2015, in which possibly some of the feast days of Yahuwah may fall on red blood moons, and are close to red blood moons. And they're saying like 2015, I believe, there is a enormous enormous sighting or overabundance of seeing red blood moons. And so we know about that prophecy, in Yoel, that, you know, before the dreadful day of Yahuwah, you know, the moon will be turning to blood. And so that I believe that's, you know, could be symbolic, you know, the blood is red. So, you know, that could be symbolic of that before, because, you know, before that terrible day, you know, that the moon, you know, is going to be turning blood. So this is what you got on. You have the formation of the beginning of the birth pains. So, you know, we're not to be alarmed. We're not to be alarmed. You know, don't be alarmed when, you know, the next president, you know, the president right now, probably Obama, you know, takes office again and we see these things start to happen because, you know, but we're embarking upon that darkness. You know, but you also know as the world gets darker and darker that the light begins to shine. So that's what I believe. I believe Yahuwah is going to pour out the Ruach HaKodesh on his people, and they're going to do mighty exploits. We're going to do mighty exploits, you know, towards in this world and destroying the kingdom of Hashatan and beginning to get ready and prepare ourselves for the coming of Yahusha and know that the false becomes before the real. So this is what you got going on. But also, there is a new doctrine out there. I still got to dig on it. I still got to dig on it. But before we get to that, pause. Hey, you are on Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and we're still on the way. Man, this is the new doctrine that's out there. I don't know if you heard it. There's a lot of stuff going on. Because what we want to do, we want to continue to keep you up to date about what's going on. So, you know, you're not deceived. You know, we talk about the Lunar Sabbath. Because these things, if you're not rooted and strong in the faith, you know, these things will trip you up. So there is a new doctrine now, and we're going to try to update you periodically about these things, but there's a new doctrine now where they say they have ancient documents and, you know, all this evidence where they're saying, of course they say JC, but they're saying that the Messiah said the Messiah was actually married. And so this now is one of the doctrines out there now in which they said they have texts to support this. They have, you know, ancient texts or whatever to support this doctrine. And so these things are going to surface and these things will, you know, have a lot, you know, some people try to, you know, boggle their mind and stuff. But for the record, Yahusha was not married. Yahusha was not married. This is a, you know, this is a lie. Most of this is perpetrated by, you know, things like Dan Brown and, you know, the Da Vinci Code and all these different things where, you know, they're saying he was, you know, married to Mary Magdalene and all these different things. And but however, he will be married to Yashrael, which is true. So, you know, and that's who he's courting right now, Yashrael. His people, so you know that is not supported, you know, because when doctrine and scriptures come out that are new, you know, you have to be line upon line, precept upon precept, and nowhere in the canon or the texts or any other scripture for that matter that is widely accepted have you seen such doctrine. So you know this doctrine is completely false. So you know, but they're going to come out with things and say, oh, we have documents saying this or that. We have ancient documents. This was, you know, carbon dated BC, you know, so nobody touched it. And you have all these things coming out, but it's not true. So that's one of, you know, the lies floating around out there. You know, and we're going to have more on that story for you, too. But just going back to what we were talking about the beginning of the birth pains. I was just telling you about the earthquakes. Well, there's been more of that. Over the last 30 days, you had 66 volcanoes erupted. And in the last 24 hours, we've had almost 309 earthquakes. I'm telling you, things are very pumping up to where you got to understand. Yahusha compares what we're going through and what we're going to experience like a birth pain. So, and we talked about this before, like birth pains, you know, there are contractions, and sometimes the contractions are very far apart, you know. So you know, there might be a month or where things are intense, and then it seems like nothing happens. That's the same thing as a woman. That's how the same thing as she goes through birth pains, you know. So, but as the contractions get more and more apart, you'll begin to see things happening one after another, one after another, one after another, and they get more intense, they get more intense, until, boom, it's labor time. And when we measure this, so this is what we're talking about. As it just keeps going and it keeps going, and you see stuff, you keep seeing stuff, and it gets closer and closer together, and then boom, it's labor time. You know, that's when Yahushua said that there will be a time, because it's labor time. That's what he says. This is what he says. He says, look, for there will be a great distress such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. So this is the labor time. This is called Jacob's or Yaakov's trouble. This is the labor time when, you know, everything will break loose. So this is what you have going on. This is the scoop pretty much on this week in events, and we're going to keep you, you know, up to date about what's been going on, but we wanted to visit a couple of scriptures. So if you have your scriptures, you want to check out Revelations. And we want to talk about the assemblies. We want to talk about the seven assemblies. Okay? Because this is an important topic, because you have a lot. I mean, Yisrael is, you know, spread out. I mean, we have, you know, people all across the world, Australia, you know, UK, you name it, people everywhere. And the thing which is hard to do is connect and be, you know, joined together and come to the unity of the faith. Under, you know, one faith, you know, one immersion, you know, one ruach, and one master. So that's what we're trying to go to, but it's hard, you know, with different people and, you know, going different directions, people at different speeds. So you know, a lot of things, a lot of contention, and different things, and different things that we're, because coming out of the church, you know, we have to unlearn everything we've learned, because everything we had learned was, you know, essentially a lie, so we have to be taught all over again. So, when you look at Revelation and you look at the assemblies that were in Asia, which were, you know, were the basis of, you know, different places in Asia, and there were different assemblies. You know, there were different assemblies. There were seven assemblies. So, you know, of course you notice in the book of Revelation that there are, you know, seven of a lot of things. You know, there's seven seals, there's seven bowls of wrath, there's seven trumpets, there's 7 years, and the last 7 years of this age, according to the prophecies, there's seven stars, there's seven lampstands, there's seven assemblies. And so all the sevens, you know, of course you know that seven is the, you know, a number of completion. You know, the last, there's seven feasts of Yahuwah, in which the last of the feasts fall in the seventh month. So, you know, the month of completion. So, and this is what you have. You have seven, seven, which is the number of completion. So, what I believe is that the seven assemblies make up the makeup of Yisrael, because, you know, the tone, what sometimes people get confused of is the tone of the Brit HaDashah, the new covenant writings. People get you know, switched to that, because, you know, we started using, you know, in the Greek, and when they use the Greek, because I believe a lot of the Brit HaDashah, the new covenant writings, were originally written in Hebrew. Or and a little bit of Aramaic, but, you know, over time, I mean, whether they burn these manuscripts or whether the Vatican has them or whatever, over time, you know, they got changed to the Greek, and a lot of the Greek words and a lot of the Greek connotation is connected to paganism, you know, because the Greek language is, you know, very dirty anyway. So, you know, you had these different words that have power. When people started using these different words, it began to get, you know, which was translated wrongly from the original scriptures. You had different words that are used that add bad notation and add power, because he said life and death is in the power of the tongue. Like, so your tongue is powerful. Your words are powerful. You know, Yahuwah's word is powerful. His word is so powerful that he created the heavens and the earth. So that's how powerful his word is. And we're made, think about it. If his word is powerful to create things and set things in motion, and Adam and man was made in the image of Yahushua, the word, so that would mean that our words too, and we in his likeness, our words too, not on the same level, but we would have power, life and death, and the power of the tongue. So our words are very powerful. But long story short, when we talk about words, when we go to the Brit Hadashah and we talk about the assemblies, you know, they used to use words like churches. And so if you look at the word church, and then you break it down and you look at, oh, what the word church means, you know, came from circuit, you know, and you know, circuit, and I believe it's C-I-R-C-E, I believe, which was one of the mighty ones of the Greeks, which gives the connotation of a circus, and I believe this mighty one used to turn like men or something into pigs, and they would run around or something. I mean, it was a, you know, possibly mythology, myths and stuff like that. But the connotation of this word gives the connotation of circus, you know, and the word is church. So that's the word they begin to use. And then, you know, people not doing research and not going back further than what they can see with their eyes, they started using these things. And so they give power to these words. They give power to these spirits that, you know, create these words. And what happens? You have places like what they call church. You go into a church nowadays, coming out of the church, now you can see, you going back into the church, you can see that these places are circuses. You can see that the pastor will touch somebody and they turn into something like a pig. They turn into, you scream and you fall on the floor. Speaking in gibberish, you know, because, you know, tongues were interpreted, you know, so tongues was, you know, the Ruach HaKodesh would give a person ability to speak another language in which somebody else can interpret. So that's the Ruach. If I never studied Hebrew, but the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon me and I was to go to Israel and I can speak in fluent Hebrew and understand somebody speaking Hebrew. I mean, that's the Ruach HaKodesh. Nothing else can do that. And so it's not an unknown language. It would be an unknown language to somebody that didn't understand. So this is one of the aspects of, you know, things that go on in the church, and you just see the circus. People just, you know, out of order, just things going on. It's chaos. You know, chaos, people screaming, people just, it's just chaos, like a circus, like animals, you know. He's running around and doing all kinds of stuff, and it's demonic activity. So, kind of not trying to get off topic, but we're talking about assemblies, okay? So when we go to the Brit Hadashah, you look at, you know, the adversary has played a trick on people, so now people think the church has taken over Yisrael. Okay, so but we go back to Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, and we know that Yahuwah said that if you could do away with the rules that he basically put in the heavens, you know, that he would do away with Yisrael, and no man can change the rules of the earth and, you know, how it rotates and the sun and the moon, you know, nobody can change that. Only he has the ability to do that. So we know that if that's the case, then Yahuwah would never do away with Yisrael. Yisrael, even the gates of Shemayim are, 12 gates for the tribes of Yisrael. So we know that Yisrael will always stand. It will only be two groups in the end. It will be Yisrael, and it will be dogs, which will be outside the kingdom. So thinking about this, and understanding how we read this, and not reading this in the Greco mind state, you know, the Greco mind state, which, you know, the church state, and where we think this is about the church, about churches. This is not about churches. This is about the assemblies and Yisrael. This is about the you know, people who might have been in the nations, who were Gentiles, who came and grafted into Yisrael, or who had been by nature an Israelite and had come back into and had lost their way or had embraced paganism and had came back into grafted back into the Yisrael. So this is the assemblies. I believe this is the assemblies of Yisrael. So now we know that, you know, of course, when Yehuchanan wrote this, he wrote this when? He wrote this back in, you know, Yehuchanan, they said, lived to be like 95. So he probably was born around the same time as Yahushua, but he was born probably about, one A.D., you know, something like that. So, and he said he lived about 90-something. So he lived to after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, he lived past that, was standing on the island of Patmos. So basically when he wrote this, we're trying to warm up to, so when we read this, you understand, hey, this is not from the mind state of, the Greco mind state. But so when he wrote this after the destruction of the temple. He wrote this after, because you got to think about this time. At this time, when he wrote this, now you had Shaul had did his thing. Shaul, most of the taught ones like Kepha, Matityahu, Lucos, Marcos, you name them, Bartholomew, all of them. By this time, most likely, all of them had probably passed away. Okay? Now, remember, Yahushua died probably around 33, 34 common era. So, this is when he died. Okay? So, you remember, after that, we read Acts. We read, you know, how they were spread, how Shaul was going to Ephesus and these different places, and, you know, and Barnabas, and, you know, all these different people were going different places, spreading the sword. So you're talking about somewhat 60 some years later, Yehuchanan writes this. So by this time, the Yisrael has, number one, the temple has been destroyed, so the diaspora has basically happened. You know, they, you know, a lot of the Israelites have this, you know, dispersed, you know, whether it's VI Africa, VI different places, and VI these assemblies, you know. So VI these were Israelites, you know, and Hebrews and part of Yisrael who had assembled in these different things after the Bastor, because we're talking, after the Bastor, because you're talking about 70 AD. And Yehuchanan living to probably like 95 or something like that. So you're talking about at least 25 years. So at least 25 years after the diaspora, the destruction of the temple, when they fled into the mountains, and, you know, the mountains, you know, it, you know, so they getting into Asia and different things like that. So they're fleeing here. So now you have assemblies set up in these places, because now, if you look at these places now, you know, you won't really find the remnant, because these places like modern-day Turkey and different things like that, you won't really find the remnant of, you won't find these assemblies really over there now. But you got to understand at the time when he was writing. But this is a model for us, because after the diaspora, when they had went all the way up into Asia and different things, this was what was going on in the state of Yisrael. The state of Yisrael after the diaspora. So now, we know that fast forward, you know, so from Asia to Africa to now to United States to now, Yisrael has crossed the four corners of the whole world. Remember? So now we're on the four corners of the whole world. So now, this is the state of Yisrael. This is the where we're spread out to. So now when we read this, as the mind state of, okay, now, 2,000-something years later, Yisrael, this is the state of Yisrael right here. This is the state of Yisrael, and these are the assemblies that are currently on the earth. This is everybody that's in the race. You know, you have people who are not even in the race. You know, you have people who are doing lawlessness, wickedness, different things like that. And then you have Yisrael. You have Yisrael who weather by, because, you know, what we say is, you know, a lot of people by the flesh are Yisrael, but, you know, Yehukana said, you know, don't think the say to yourselves, you know, we have Abraham as our father. You know, Yahuwah was able to raise up these stones to be children of Abraham. So, not necessarily by the flesh. You know, a lot of people try to boast by the flesh, but by the flesh, you are not actually, you know, according to Yahuwah and according to getting into the kingdom, you're not part of Yisrael. So, but the people who are part of Yisrael, who keep the commandments, who, you know, who might have come to the knowledge of the name and the knowledge of Yahuwah. So now, it's bigger than just you know, coming out of the truth now. So now you have a boat, you have a remnant within the remnant. So now you have a remnant that has came out of the church, having graphited and accepted the Torah, have accepted the Messiah via Yahusha, and now you have people in the truth. So now you have a bracket of people in the truth, bracket of Yisrael. So this was what Yehukanah was talking to after the sport, 25 years after, he was talking to these assemblies that people who knew the name of Yahusha, who knew the name of Yahuwah, kept the commandments. And this is who he is referring to. He's referring to these people who are in the race, He's not referring to, the Jews or the Christians or the pagans. He's referring to people who are in the race, who are in that bracket of people. Because remember, Yahuwah said, though Yisrael be as many as the sands of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. This is what he's talking about, because you had a bracket of people who dispersed. I mean, Yisrael was huge. You have a bracket of people who know the Torah, who may know the names of Yahusha, but there is a bracket, and this is what he's talking to. And so this is what we're going to read. And we wanted to speed it up to there so you can understand and have your mind state, not in that Greco mind state, so you understand what we're about to read. Okay, so now we're going to go into this, and we're going to start with Revelation chapter 1. Okay. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. And this is what it says. It says, "In the secret of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, and the seven stars are the messengers of the seven assemblies. And the seven lampstands which you saw are these seven assemblies." Okay? It says, "To the messenger of the assembly of Ephesus, right?" Now, we're going to pause right there, because a lot of pastors, I heard this before too, a lot of so-called pastors, supposedly shepherds or, you know, whatever they want to, you know, title they want to put on themselves, have said that they are actually the messenger, which is, I believe, is actually false, okay? Because a lot of these people are lying, you know what I'm saying? A lot of these, you know, pastors out here are lying, and they're saying they're the messengers of the assemblies, and what they're talking about in Revelations, especially the people who are in the so-called circus, church, they will say that, okay? But if you go back and read 20, it says, "The secret of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, lampstands, and the seven stars are the seven messengers of these seven assemblies." So, for now, okay, you have this is what he's talking about. He's breaking it down, the secret now. Okay, you remember, even on a menorah, you have seven candlesticks, or you have three on one side, and you got one in the middle. So you got seven. Okay, so the menorah is representing the seven assemblies, which have seven messengers over the assemblies. Okay, so this is important. And so when you talk about, when they try to say they're the messengers and all this stuff, you know, I'm not buying it. Because even if you go back to Daniel, let's pause. This just came to me right here. Let's go to Daniel. I'm gonna go to Daniel real quick. Daniel chapter. Now the Daniel chapter 12. Now the complexity of the system of Yahuwah is it's not very hard to understand. Okay, you think about U.S. and you think about how they have governments. You have, you know, you have the Congress. You have the president. You have the different things. You have the different things they model from. Now these things are ancient concepts in which, number one, all these things have, you know, spawned from, you know, the truth. You know, it's a distortion of the truth, but it's spawned from the truth. Because just like you have a hierarchy in Shemaim, you know, they have a spinoff on earth. Because you have Yahuwah, you know, who you know, nobody, you know, is above Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? Then you have it at his right hand, you have Yahusha, you know. Because remember, Yahushua said, so we know there's order. He said, my father, you know, is greater than me. You know, so Yahuwah is greater than all. So we have Yahuwah. And then, you know, you read Revelations, you have the four creatures, and, you know, you have the four creatures, and then you have the 12 messengers. I was reading the other night where, you know, the sons of thunder, you know, came to Yahushua and said, you know, do something for us. You know, we asked you to do something. He said, what do y'all want me to do for me? He said, well, you come into the kingdom, let my brother and me be on your right hand and your left hand. You know, and Yahusha responds, you know, hey, you know what you asked for. And he goes into, you know, what he was saying. But he said, I don't have that authority. You know, this has been given to, you know, the ones that the Father has, you know, put into place. So we even see right there that there's a hierarchy. You know, you have the 12 apostles, you know, that were the apostles, the taught ones. And then you have there's a hierarchy. You know, you have the four messengers, and you have the creatures, and then you have the messengers and all the people who were in Shemaim. So there is a system and a hierarchy and what you would like to say government. There's a heavenly government. Okay, so when we're just talking about Revelations, we're talking about the seven assemblies, which is symbolically of the menorah, the seven assemblies, which a messenger is over all the assemblies. This is one thing I was just thinking about. When you read Revelations 12, verse 1, it says, now, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great head is over, who is standing over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of distress, such as never there been since a nation to that time. And so that time the people shall be delivered, everyone who is written in the book. So when they're talking about Michael, who is one of the messengers, I mean, you have Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, I can't name them all, but that's the three. Raphael, I think that's four. And so you have the different messengers. So I believe one, you know, possibly just like it just talked about, Michael is the head of over some of the people of Yisrael. That's why I believe this is talking about, that there is actually messengers. Because if you read some works like the Apocalypse of Shaul and different things like that, there are messengers who are over, you know, certain groups of people. You know, that I mean, it's like you have a district. You know, you have a district. This district where you live at, you might have a governor. Because remember when Gabriel was trying to get to when he was trying to get to Daniel, you know, he said, you know, first time you heard, so the first time you prayed, we heard you, but we were fighting with the king, with the Prince of Persia. You know what I'm saying? And Gabriel is a messenger, so he wasn't actually talking about the physical Prince of Persia. It was probably a messenger an evil messenger, a fallen messenger that is over that district of Persia who he was fighting with, because possibly Daniel was in that area of Persia and he was trying to get to him. So this is what you're talking about, and we're talking about that, you know, even messengers, that they have a hierarchy, and even only person that we are, you know, instructed to worship is Yahuwah and his son Yahusha. That is it. You know, messengers do not receive worship. So, I mean, because you have, and that's what these pastors are trying to do, because they're trying to step in the role and say that they are the messengers, and we know that messengers do not receive any worship. So that, you know, pastors, they want praise and worship for them, for themselves. You know what I'm saying? And that's like the Pharisees, because they wanted to step in different seats, and they wanted worship for themselves, but they have already received their reward. So this is what we got to watch out for. We got to watch out for that spirit that wants to receive worship and wants to be, you know, somehow. But even the messengers weren't to receive worship. Because remember, Yehoshaphat and Philip defeated one of the messengers, and he said, no, do not worship me. He said, worship, you know, Elohim, you know. So this is what they're doing. But that's one of the things that I believe, that one of the secrets is that these messengers are over these different assemblies that Yahuwah is about to expound on. So going to Revelation chapter 2, and it says, in the messenger of the assembly of Ephesus. So remember, you know, the assembly is a part of, you know, Yashrael. It says, who is holding the seven stars in his right hand, who is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, says this. So we know that these are groups of people in Yashrael who had probably left after the destruction, whose families had left after the destruction of the temple of, you know, the temple, Herod's temple, in 70 A.D., and had spread it to places like, Ephesus, Ephesus we're reading, you know, in Asia Minor, and these places like this. So these are people who knew the commandments and, you know, are in the faith. But this is what these are the things and the issues that they were going on, that was going on. He said, look, he says, I know your works and your labor and your endurance, that you are able, he said, you are not able to bear evil ones. And you have tried those who said they are emissaries and are not, and have found them false. Says you have been bearing up and have endurance and have labored for my name's sake. See, they knew his name. See, that's what I'm saying. They knew his name. They knew the name of Yahusha. They knew the name of Yahusha. So these are not people that, you know, were Gentiles, or, you know, these are issues that concern Yashrael. These are the same issues that concern Yashrael today. Okay. So he says, labor for my name's sake, and have not become weary. But I hold this against you, that you have left your first love. So remember from where you have fallen, it says, and repent, and do the first works, or else I shall come speedily and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. It says, yet this you have, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans. It says, which I also hate. And the Nicolaitans, if you know what that is, it is basically, when you get down to the root of that, and the root of that word, and the root of that, and the etymology of that word, it was control over the masses. The Nicolaitans are the same spirit that is in Christianity today, is in the spirit of the church today, where you have a hierarchy, where you have a hierarchy system in which Yahuwah had never set up. You know, he never set up the pastor to be above everybody. He never set that up. So, you know, the shepherd is, he said, the greatest among you will be the least. So the shepherd was never to be a ruler, you know, to be like an authoritative ruler over everybody. He was to be that's what Yahusha even said. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, you know, like, So this is the reverse concept of what the circus has, the church has, and what, you know, Constantine, you know, has set into order, you know, with these churches. And so the greatest among them is to be the least. you know, we look at churches today and different things today, you know, the pastor is more well off than members of the assembly, which is of the circus, which is a wrong model. Because if he is supposed to be, if the greatest of him is supposed to be the least, he should make sure that the others are well off before he is. He should be the last person to be well off. That is the shepherd's role. That is the shepherd's role. So a lot of the roles have been, and that's the spirit of the Nicolaitans, was that they would have control over the masses. You know, just like, you know, the Pharisees, you know, they would tell everybody to do everything, but they wouldn't do it. You know, and they would have this hierarchy system to where, you know, they were controlling everything, but they weren't the least of every, you know, they weren't. Because remember, Yahushua told the disciples, he said, you know, look, he said that's what the nations do. You know, it should not be like that with y'all. He said, y'all are brothers. We have number one master. That's why he told them not to call any man rabbi, you know, because that gives them a sense of, you know, people start getting puffed up, and, you know, some people think that they're better than everybody else, you know, when that's not the case. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yes, you always have somebody that's, you know, everybody had different roles, you know, just like when they asked them, you know, master, you know, who was going to be in charge. You know, it was supposed to be, you know, Yaakov or James. So, but I want to pause right there. Hey, the show is actually about to go into archives. So if you're listening by phone or something and it cuts off, the show actually goes on archives, so you can go in and listen to it later. Just want to, you know, put that plug in there. You listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and we're still on the way. So, and we're only going to get into chapter 2 of this. We're only going to get into chapter 2 of this, and then we're going to pause, and then we're going to hopefully y'all willing to pick up next week. But this is what it says. It says, "But I hold this against you that you okay." So we read that. It says, verse 7. It says, "He who has ear, let him hear what the Ruach, or Spirit, says to the assemblies. To him who overcomes, I shall give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Elohim." And said the messenger of the assembly of Samurin, right. This says the first and the last, who became dead and came to life. I know your works, and pressure and poverty. It says yet you have. It says I wanted to clarify because wherever these assemblies were in Asia. Or Asia Minor, whatever, they would have people, you know, they would have a shepherd over them, and so whatever messenger was over that assembly, I guess, but there would be a physical person, you know, of course, like a shepherd over that assembly. So it says, "I know your works and your pressure and your poverty, and you are rich, and the blasphemy of those who say they are Yahudim and are not, the congregation of Hashtan." It says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. See, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison in order to try you." It says, and you shall have pressure for 10 days. "Be trustworthy unto death, and I shall give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach says to the assemblies. He who overcomes shall by no means be harmed by the second death." To the messenger of the assembly of Pergamus, right? He who has the sharp two-edged sword says this: "I know your works and where you dwell, where the throne of Hashatan is. Now, if you don't know, they actually have an exhibit in Berlin, Greece, where they used to have in Pergamos. They used to have a pagan throne, which actually was the throne supposedly of Zeus, which basically was a lot of people believe was the throne of Hashatan. So these things, you know, because people, you know, what you can get caught up in is you can look at it and you can say, okay, all these places was in Asia, and you can think, okay, well, it's meant to be taken literally. But, you know, these things change, and you got to understand who you're talking to. He says, and you hold fast to my name. So these group of people who are part of Yisrael, they hold fast to the name of Yahushua. So just giving you an example, now the throne of Hashatan is moved to Jerusalem because that's where the Khazarian is setting up the throne, setting up the, you know, for the anti-Messiah, you know, getting the third temple ready. So, you know, possibly there could be people in you know, over there now who know the name of Yahushua, you know, who are going through this situation, who are, you know, by... you know, where the throne of Hashatan will be, you know, where they set up the temple. It says, and do not deny the belief in me. It says, even in the days which Antipas was my trustworthy witness, who was killed near you, where Hashatan dwells. But I have a few matters against you, because you have there those who adhere to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak, said, to put a stumbling block before the children of Yisrael, to eat food offered to idols, and to commit whoring. So you also have those who adhere to the teachings of the Nicolaitans, which teachings I hate. Repent, or else I come to you speedily to fight against you, to fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach says to the assemblies. To him who overcomes, I shall give him the hidden manna to eat. And I shall give to him a white stone, and a stone with a renewed name written on it, and no one knows except him who receives it. To the messenger of the assembly of Tyre, write, this is the son of Elohim, who has eyes like flame of fire and speed like burnished brass. I know your works and love, your service and belief, and your endurance and all as your works. Last is more than the first. But I hold against you that you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and lead my servants astray, and to commit whoring and to eat food offered to idols. So this is what after the Besor. So what Yahuwah is talking about? He just talked about people who knew his name and, you know, knew the name of Yahusha. So there are people. What he's saying is, these is the current state of Yisrael. There's somewhere out there that people are connected with somebody that, hey, may, you know, somebody, you know, there may be somebody that calls themselves a prophetess, but they teach, you know, people to learn, you know, learn astray. But the people who are in truth, you know, may allow that to go on. So this is what the situation he is talking about. It says, I have gave her time. Her time to repent from her whoring, and she did not. See, I am throwing her into her sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great affliction, unless they repent from their works. And I shall slay her children with death. All the assembly shall know that I am the one searching the kidneys and the hearts, and I shall give to each one you according to your works. He says, and to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many who do not possess this teaching and who do not know the depths of Hashatan, as they call them, I am not putting you on you another burden, but hold fast to what you have, and I said until I come. So he's talking about, and that's what we have. And see, in some assemblies, and maybe in some fellowships, that there may be different situations that are going on. But you know, Yahuwah said, you know, made it clear in this one that hey, in this, you know, in the assemblies, there are some people that, you know, are walking right. You know, so so he tells those people just to hold fast to what they have, you know, and you know, until they come. It says, and he who overcomes and guards my works until the end, to him I shall give authority over the nations. He shall shepherd them with the iron rod, as a potter's vessel shall be broken into pieces. As so I have received from my Father. I have given him the morning star. I shall also give him the morning star. And he who has ear, let him hear what the Ruach says to the assemblies. So we're going to start right there. And Yahuwah willing, next week, we'll get into the other assemblies and the other state of Yisrael, because we really need to find out what's going on in the state of Yisrael. These are the issues going on in the state of Yisrael today, as we spread across the four corners of the world. This is the issues that we are now displayed across the whole four corners of the world. These are the issues, not with people. We're talking about family, not with people, Gentiles, not people in the church, not Muslims, not Christians. But these are issues in the assembly of Yisrael, who people who know the name of Yahushua, who proclaim Yahuwah, who keep the commandments of Yahuwah. These are the issues that are going on right now that need to be addressed. So this is what, you know, we wanted to go over. And there's people in the race that we need to just clean these things up. So, hey, you've been listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm your host, Side, and we're on the way. Man, I hope the word went forth. I hope it blessed you. And hope you have a blessed Shabbat. And may Yahuwah keep you. May he bless you. May his face shine upon you. And may he bless your family. You have a great and awesome week. We're now in the eighth new moon. So it's going to be, you know, the month of new beginnings. You know, eighth is the number of new beginnings, so we're looking for new beginnings. We're looking for Yahuwah doing new things in your life this month. So that's what we're excited about. So may Yahuwah bless you and keep you aim. We out of here. Peace and shalom. Shabbat shalom. We out.